This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash. Hello. And welcome back to another edition of Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez. And I'm coming to you live on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash right here in Detroit, Michigan. And we're talking wrestling tonight. But before we get into this Wrestle Talk, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because I know without him, there's no me. I want to thank God for giving me the ability to even talk wrestling with you all tonight. So I always shout out to God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Thank you. I know this is a wrestling show, but I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to thank God. Okay. As simple as that. This is a big show tonight. We got a special interview that's coming on tap in a few minutes from Mr. David Ungar from the Attitude Aggression podcast. He will be joining me relatively shortly. So I'm eager and happy to be able to talk to him once again. He came on the show a few months back, and just had such a good time talking to him a few months back. For those of you that are listening, the phone number is 646-668-8672 if you want to call in and talk about anything you want to talk about, wrestling related, whatever's on your mind, feel free to call in. Again, the phone number for you to call in is 646-668-8672. It's kind of tough doing these shows because I'm not in my old studio as I was last year, but some kind of way we're going to make it happen, and we're going to try to deliver you good shows. So much to talk about in the world of wrestling, too much actually. And I almost feel like I'm drunk off all this wrestling. We got wrestling on Mondays. We got wrestling on Tuesdays. We got wrestling on Wednesdays. We got wrestling on Thursdays, Fridays, dang near every day. And we can't forget about the pay-per-views, Jermaine, right, that come on Sundays as well. We also got Jermaine, who's going to be helping us out tonight. I don't know how long he's going to be with us, but Jermaine is going to be helping us out talk wrestling with me, hopefully. But this is Wrestle Talking the D with Martez. This is the season premiere of Wrestle Talking the D. I haven't been on since last April, I believe. I've done a lot of behind-the-scenes work producing other shows, but I haven't done my own show in a while. And also, in a few more weeks, Dominic Portman, he will be back on the show joining me as my partner and co-host. It's hard doing a show by yourself because you run out of things to talk about. Once again, we're waiting on Mr. David Ungar to join us. He's going to come on the show. He's from the Attitude Aggression podcast. He hosts a very, very good podcast. I had a chance to listen to it a few months back, and I had him on the show a few months back. So we're going to be awaiting his call. And I believe he's calling in right now. Before we get Mr. Ungar, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, on the show again, I want to touch on a few things wrestling related. And I definitely want to ask him a few questions regarding certain topics and storylines in wrestling today. But I don't know about you all, but I am so uncomfortable with this whole Bobby Lashley and Lana and Rusev storyline. I don't know if Lana and Rusev are still married, but I don't know about you all, but I cannot have my wife kissing or being hugged up or being or receiving massages from another guy. And I don't care if this is acting. I don't care if this is their profession. I think that's an absolute no-no. And I think this can end badly. You know, yes, this is acting. Yes, they're going along with WWE creative, but I do not like this storyline whatsoever. Now, I'm one of those wrestling fans that I wanted WWE to do more edgier content, because I grew up in the Attitude Era, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, you know, Val Venis, Goldust, stuff like that, D-Generation X. I love that. But this right here, I'm not down with Bobby Lashley kissing Lana, and Lana is still married with Rusev in real life. Now, I'm breaking kayfabe right now because we all know wrestling is all about stories, and it's choreographed. Okay, I'm just keeping it real, and I am not behind this. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but later on in the show, you can call in at 646-668-8672, 646-668-8672. We got a lot of AEW to talk about. We have a lot of NXT to talk about. We got to talk about this draft that I wasn't impressed with. I wasn't happy with. You know, I don't want to sound like a sour fan, because a lot of us as fans, we are very pissy, you know, when it comes to what we like from WWE in particular. So I want to talk about that as well as the Street Profits. I think their ceiling is high. And I also want to talk about Asuka. I think Asuka, whenever she breaks away from the Kabuki Warriors, it's hard to say that. Whenever she breaks away from that, I would like to see her get a strong title push. But that's a conversation for later on in the show. We're with you tonight for about an hour and a half. But we have a special guest that's getting ready to join the show, which is Mr. David Ungar. And I know he'll correct me once he comes on if I send his name wrong. He came on the show a few months back, and I just had a glorious and wonderful time with him. And I always like to bring back people that I had a good time with, because you never know if you never know if you guys have good chemistry. You never know if you guys are flowing well whenever you decide to bring someone on your show. So I was blessed to have him on the show a few months back, and now he's back again today. And I always say this. Nobody has to accept your invitation. I don't care if it's to a graduation. I don't care if it's to a birthday party or a wedding. No one has to accept your invitation one time, let alone twice. Now, this gentleman accepted my invitation twice. So I want to thank him before he come on for accepting my invitation. Before we bring Mr. David Ungar on from the Attitude Aggression podcast, we want to get him a proper intro music, as we always do. And after the intro music is played, we're going to bring on Mr. David Ungar. Without further ado, we're going to bring on David Ungar of the Attitude Aggression podcast. Hey, David.
Hey, man, it's almost like you knew I was wearing a Ric Flair shirt with that intro. Woo! That was great, man.
Oh, that's what's up, man. Are you literally wearing a Ric Flair shirt?
I'm literally wearing a Ric Flair shirt. No BS, man. I'm wearing a Ric Flair shirt sitting here right now. Listening to that intro, watching my dogs about ready to go and do something stupid. You guys need to sit down.
Hey, I don't know about you, but like for some reason, I still get chills off that intro music. Like I don't get chills off of a lot of theme songs, but it's something about that Ric Flair theme song that gives me chills. You know?
Yeah, man. That Real American. I mean, every time I hear Hulk Hogan's theme song or the Ultimate Warriors or even. You know, even Macho Man's. I mean, it just brings you back. I mean, like old Sting theme songs and stuff like that when he was Surfer Sting. Yeah, I mean, it's powerful and it evokes a lot of great memories. So yeah, I'm with you there 100%, man.
Oh, absolutely. I want to thank you for coming on to the show again. I like to form relationships, network. You know, talk to good people that I talked to before. And last time you were on here, I felt like. We had a good time chatting about wrestling and things of that nature.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for inviting me back, man.
For sure. So, David, first want to start off, you know, how's your podcast going? Are you still doing the podcast? How's it been since the last time we talked regarding your podcast?
Yeah, the podcast is still going. It's kind of evolved. I don't know if the last time we talked, if it was just, if I still have my co-host or if it's just a solo thing, but right now it's just kind of me doing it. The episodes don't come out quite as often as I'd like, although lately I've had some really good guests on the show. I had I talked to Glacier a few weeks back.
Wow.
I talked to Al Snow just last week. The latest episode has an interview with Al Snow. He was great to talk to.
Nice.
So, I talked to him on October 2nd, right on the eve of the Wednesday Night War, the first, airing of all that stuff. And Al's got, the thing I said, I kind of went off on my show a little bit just because I knew people were going to come to me and say, why didn't you ask him about the Attitude Era? I'm like, because everybody asked him about that. I mean, how many times can the guy talk about a mannequin head before you've heard it all before? So, I wanted to get Al's opinion. He bought OVW, and we all know OVW has been a feeder ground for some of the all-time greats. And I wanted to see, he's got the school, and his school is very unique. So I wanted to talk to him about that. Glacier was a great interview. Especially getting his take on the gimmick and, kind of how they tried to approach it. And he's really cool. One of the coolest guys I've ever talked to because he knows the gimmick didn't go over as well as they hoped. And that's all right. He's fine with it. that stuff was all great. But, the podcast probably comes out about every week to 10 days, that sort of thing. And it's still going pretty well.
That's cool, man. That's funny. I just was watching, I don't know if it was a short video about Glacier and how people didn't think it was going to go over well and people didn't think it was a good character. But that's ironic that you just interviewed him. But I enjoyed Glacier as a character. He was a cool character, if you ask me.
Yeah, he was. And he talked about how they wanted to try and they wanted to try to do something that appealed to everybody. And Mortal Kombat was hot at the time, and I guess they thought a Sub-Zero like character had a might resonate better with a lot of people than it actually did. But it was a different time. The industry was getting ready to change and move away from some of that superhero-y sort of things to go, like I was listening before you got on here talking about edgy content, the Attitude Era, and that was kind of when they started to move in that direction where, hey, let's get edgier, let's show, for lack of a better term, let's show more TNA and that sort of thing, and get the younger demographic all excited and that sort of thing. So you could see why it may not have connected with people as well as they'd hope, but he was still a great character, a lot of skill. One of the nicest guys I've talked to in the entire nearly 5-year history of the podcast.
Nice, man. Nice. Now, when you're able to land a, I don't know how you look at it, but some people would say big name. When you're able to land the likes of Glacier, the likes of Al Snow, and I don't know who else you've been able to land. Like, how does that feel? Like what is that feeling like? Do you feel like you arrived or how does that feel?
At this point, I mean back in the first big name we ever got on the show was Jeff Jarrett, and that was back on like episode 41, and Jeff's a hall of famer now, and that was you really didn't know exactly how to approach things back then. And since then, you just kind of go along and like you said, people don't have to accept your invites. And let's be honest, you throw the invites out to some of the big names, and more often than not, they just ignore you. When you do get somebody to respond, it tells me a couple things. Like, it tells me, okay, this guy is somebody who's still wanting to kind of give back, guy or girl for that matter. Somebody who wants to give back to the community, who still has something he wants to tell the community. Has it's not just about getting their name out there. Cause Al's done a ton of podcasts. Glacier's done a ton of podcasts. The fact that they took some time to talk to you. I do think at this stage of where I'm at, it helps that I've had guys like Jeff Jarrett, like Dominic Dijakovic, guys like that have been on the show. So it does help when you can kind of name drop like that and people say, oh, okay. And most people, most people give me a pretty good review. I get a good rapport with most of these guys. I did Superstar Bill Dundee, who had some great stories about Macho Man Randy Savage, who he does not like at all. Go and listen to that episode. There's some fun stuff there. So, still, when you get a big name, when I get a big name, I feel really good about it. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I get to talk about some stuff. But on the last episode, I was trying to tell, there's so many wrestling podcasts and some of the newer guys who are out there. And I listen to them and it's like, It's like, look, you got to ask them something different. You can't just ask them the same stuff that they've said 3 million times before because they get bored. It's like, well, why do I have to say this again? So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. You talk to these guys. You get their take on the industry, and you learn little things that matter to them, like with Al, very important what he's trying to teach new people, that it's not just about in-ring. It's becoming well-rounded and you know, developing your skills on multiple fronts so that, you know, if it doesn't work out in the ring for you, you've got something else to fall back on. So, I mean, yeah, it's great when you can get a big name like that, and you just got to make the most of those opportunities and not drop the ball. You know, when you get somebody like that on your show, don't sit there and just be silent for and not have anything to say. You know, have a plan, know where you want to go, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we had Devon Dudley on not too long ago, and I was nervous the whole day. I'm not going to lie because
I know.
Sometimes you judge a book by its cover, and it seemed like that guy could be intimidating. And I'm not scared of anybody, but, you know, it was very, very nerve-wracking. And once he came on the show, he was pretty cool. We cracked jokes, and it was a good show. So you just never know what to expect when you have one of those type guys on your show.
Yeah. Definitely.
Now, are you a fanboy? Like the day of an interview with those high profile wrestlers, do you come off as a fanboy, or is it just regular you? Like, how do you present yourself and your emotions when you're interviewing these guys?
No, I really don't try to mark out. I try to keep that as professional as I can. I mean, and you know, anybody who listens to my show knows that, you know, my day job, I'm a 50-year-old attorney. So it's a little different. It's a little different for me than it would be for a lot of the other guys who are out there doing that, because it's like, well, okay, I ask questions for a living, and I've been doing that for, like, you know, over 20 years now. So it's different for me. So I know when the time is to mark out. Like, if I'm at an event, or I'm at WrestleMania, or like you know, we did the debut of SmackDown on Fox down in L.A. What was it? 2 weeks ago, we were down there for that. That's different. Oh, mark out all you want. Be a fan. But, yeah, with those guys, I really try to keep it as professional as possible. I mean, there are moments where they will say something that you'll just mark out. Like, you know, when Bill Dundee was telling me stories about Randy Savage, and I'm, like, trying – and I love Randy Savage. And Bill absolutely hates the man, is glad he's in the grave. And so, you know, I'm trying to, like, peel myself back a little bit and say, all right, I cannot let this guy know that I'm a Savage fan, or that might really turn him off. But it was fascinating to listen to the issues that he had with him and listen to the issues that he had with, like, Undertaker, you know, that he thinks that Undertaker blacklisted him from ever being in WWE. I mean, so stuff like that is, like, surprising to hear, and you just kind of process it. Like, yeah, it's back of your mind as a fanboy. You're like, oh my God. But as an interviewer, you kind of detach yourself and say, oh, okay, well, let me follow up with that and see, let me dig a little bit deeper about this sort of thing. But yeah, I really try, you know, with the bigger name people, not to go in that fanboyish mark out sort of thing, because I imagine that probably turns them off a little bit. I don't know. No one's ever said that, but I know I've talked to enough of them who kind of are one of the indie guys, he was actually on NXT, Chris Silvio. He's actually become a friend of mine, superstar Chris Silvio. And when I interviewed him, he was like, he's like, man, it was so nice that you just didn't go through my Wikipedia page and hit the career highlights. You actually asked them different sort of things and try to follow up in that.
Right.
So, yeah, but that's because, you're not trying to mark out. You're not trying to be a fanboy. I mean, I think if you're going to do it, if you're going to be a podcaster and you're going to actually interview these guys, then you really got to separate the fan. I'm sure you know this. You've done this long enough. I mean, there are times when you're doing this as an analyst that you kind of aren't a fan anymore, because you look at it from an analytical point of view. Whereas if you just watch something as being a fan and you can just enjoy it differently, those are fun moments. And it's okay if you're a podcaster to kind of go back and say, well, I remember what it was like to be a fan, and I just want to do that again. And nothing wrong with that. You know, when you're doing like you're doing every week and you're talking about the key issues, you've got to kind of look at it cold and analytically. Okay, is this working? Is this crap? Is this a stupid storyline? That was really cool. That was a great match. You know, things like that. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. You did a good job with that. You definitely did. Well, we're talking to make sure I'm saying your name right. We're talking to Mr. David Unger, right?
Dave Unger. Just call me. You can call me Big Dave. That's what I call myself on the show. That's the alter ego, that sort of thing.
Okay. All right. We're talking to Big Dave of the Attitude Aggression Podcast, which is a cool name, a name that stands out. Now you're 5 years into the game. Is there just keeping it real? Is there a burnout period after doing this for 5 years, like where you want to like quit or take a long break or just say forget it?
Yeah, there have been a few like 3 month hiatuses. You know, I think after I lost my co-host, after he just decided to go do other stuff, you know, it wasn't the same because we had too much fun with each other and we were coming up with some insane stuff, like ad-libbing just stuff that you would think we'd actually like thought out and prepared, but we never did. We just went into each show cold and just kind of played it by ear and came up with the craziest stuff imaginable. And I think like after WrestleMania 35, when WWE went through that stage where everything just kind of sucked, you know, it wasn't, I didn't put out an episode until like the, what is it? Like the Raw reunion or something like that. Just cause so much of it was just not fun. And I think I was kind of, you know, we're kind of like laying back because you knew AEW was coming. And I think, you know, we went to Double or Nothing in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And that was such a great show that you were kind of like, okay, let's see where they are in a few months and kind of like let the dust settle and see what AEW is doing with certain things and kind of go from there. So yeah, I think you do get burnout. I think there are periods, you know, there are periods of, I mean, from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, it's all in, you know, not to take anything that was trademarked by Cody and the guys, but I think from Royal Rumble to Mania, you've got to be all in because that's the most important time of the year. But yeah, I think from Mania to SummerSlam, there's that lull with the exception of Money in the Bank where you kind of maybe lose a little bit of interest. Mm-hmm. And right now we're kind of, you know, if AEW wasn't around right now, I think we'd kind of be in the same boat, but now you've got the Wednesday Night War going on, which has made things kind of interesting and fun again for the entire industry.
Absolutely. Speaking of AEW, what are your earlier thoughts on what they've been doing thus far?
You know, look, I when they first started, you know, when they first got going and everybody was going nuts saying how WWE was dead and buried and this is the end of Vince McMahon and all that stuff. And I was like, man, you guys got to pump your brakes a little bit. Look, they have put on one great show, Double or Nothing. Mm-hmm. All they had done at that time was kind of like create buzz and create hype. And I was, you know, sternly in the corner of a lot of people who were like me, who were like, look, let them prove it. Let them prove that they can actually look. It's one thing to put on a great event like All In or Double or Nothing. And, you know, some lesser events such as Fight for the Fallen or Fighter Fest. Okay, that's great. But let's see what they do with a weekly TV show when they have to deal with the same stuff that WWE has been dealing with for, what, 3 decades going on now almost. And let them see what they can do. Let them see what they do on a weekly show, whether they can create compelling storylines, whether they can do anything that keeps people interested, whether they can work with a women's roster who, let's be honest, it's not going to match up WWE's right now. They've got some great talent there, but it's not Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, Bayley, Alexa Bliss, Shayna Baszler. No, it's not that. So, you know, I wanted to see what they could do with that. I mean, they've got the best tag division in the world, I think. Now, after 3 weeks, and I'll be straight, I haven't seen all of Dynamite for this week yet, but the first 2 weeks were really strong. I mean, really strong shows. I liked the second week's better than the debut episode. I thought the episode last week was great. You know, the formation of the Inner Circle, Jericho bashing WWE creative. That was priceless. And they're putting on good matches. Pac is looking really, really strong. And I love that because he was just screwed over by Vince so badly as far as the whole Neville thing goes. So I think AEW is really off to their numbers are staying pretty constant. Yeah, they've gone down every week. NXT's has gone down every week. But I don't know what you think. So far, I think they're really strong. I would say they're the real deal.
Yeah, I think they definitely are the real deal. And I agree with you regarding the women's division. The women's division is pretty lackluster. Like, they're going to have to grab a big name or something, or because I'm not impressed because I watched the match last night with I don't even know these people's names. That's how bad I am. I watched a women's match last night and I wasn't impressed. I turned it off, you know. And sometimes it's because of that big name. It's because of that name factor that draws you to keep your eyes on the match. And last night's show, I wasn't really that excited. You know, I liked the first 2 weeks myself, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but last night wasn't that good to me. but you'll have to watch.
I'll have to see. I mean, you know, they're gonna have that though. I mean, you're not gonna be able to knock it out of the park every week. You know, guys are gonna come in with little different energy levels. The cards won't be written as well. I mean, if there's a concern I have with AEW right now, it might be depth, because they might run through a lot of these matchups too quickly, and they're gonna have to build the roster. I mean, I do like that they've got a good mix of veterans and youth. At the same time, you got guys like Jericho and you got guys like Cody and even Kenny and the Bucks. They're not, you know, rookies, but then you got guys like Sammy Guevara and you've got Darby Allin and you've got Jimmy Havoc, who's really not a rookie. He's been around for quite a while, but he seems kind of rookie-ish because a lot of people don't know him, that sort of thing. So they've got a good mix of stuff to work with, and I think they can really build on that. But, yeah, they don't have, like, you know, you look at WWE's roster. And not even exclude NXT, and that roster is ridiculously deep. So deep, you could do a draft, and we could talk about how lame the draft was if you want. But they still have the depth to pull off something like that, and AEW really doesn't have that yet. And that would be my initial concern with them is like, okay, 6 months from now, where are we going to be when you guys have matched up everybody against each other? So that'd be my one concern right now. The tag team division, I'm not worried about. They're stack there, but yeah, I do kind of get concerned about their depth a little bit.
Right, that's it's amazing you said that, because I'm definitely concerned about their depth as well, and that's one thing that stands out. They don't have a lot of wrestlers, you know. Now we brought up the draft, and I want to get into the draft right now, if that's okay with you. What did you think about the draft this past Friday and this past Monday?
Oh man, the thing about the draft is, the thing that comes to mind is like, all right, SmackDown's supposed to be the new A show, right? But they go into this thing, they've got two matches on two separate shows to determine the first draft pick. Raw wins both of those. So it's like, okay, how much stock are we putting in SmackDown? Now, and I know it makes more sense to have Raw win both of those, because then you've got three picks for Raw and two for SmackDown. So it wouldn't make a lot of sense to go SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, Raw, Raw. Do it the other way, that sort of thing. So I get all that. But, I think the biggest problem I have with the draft, and I know somebody had posted something on the Attitude of Aggression's Facebook page, and so we got kind of like inflamed with a few people on this thing. But the draft is like, the thing about it is these war rooms with these horrible acting jobs by people who are allegedly Fox USA employees who are pissed off because, oh, damn it, USA drafted Jinder Mahal, you know, that sort of, you know, it's just like, come on, who cares? You lost out on some mid-card jobber and you're all upset about that. So no one, you know, I understand it's supposed to be fun, but it's just not believable.
I hate when they insult us like that, man. I hate when they insult our intelligence like that.
Yeah, if you're gonna present it as a realistic draft, then at least try and, you know, present it realistically. Don't these war rooms and that. It's like, that was stupid. Like the one in 2016 to me was a lot better, you know, because you got Finn Balor number five, which surprised a lot of people. And here, and they didn't do this stupid thing. Okay, only these guys are eligible this first night, and only these guys are eligible the second night. It's like, wait a second, why are you like carving the roster up? Shouldn't everybody be available so that you get the maximum impact of the draft? I mean, it worked 3 years ago. Why are we going to do it this different way this time? So there's a lot of, they just seem to be like moving it in a certain way. Well, here, we already know what's going on. We just want to present it in a fun way. And I just didn't get into it. I mean, some of the picks I didn't have too many problems with. They seemed to kind of, I didn't see any real big surprises. I mean, maybe Humberto Carrillo and Akira Tozawa being drafted. I'm like, wait, what? There's other guys out there. No offense, but they're great wrestlers. I'm not taking anything away from Humberto or Akira Tozawa. Fantastic, great cruiserweights. But yeah, it's like there's some curious stuff. Yeah, Jinder Mahal being drafted. I haven't even seen Jinder in 6 months.
Exactly.
I don't know what's going on with him.
That scratched my head. And I'm under of the belief that Fox, and you may disagree with me, but Fox, they got too much power. They got too much control. And all this has Fox written all over it. You know, I think it's a chance they might dilute the product just a little bit. And they can't dilute the whole thing, but I feel like Fox has too much say-so for SmackDown. And I almost think for the whole company, they got too much say-so. Because whatever happens on SmackDown, it may affect Raw. You know, when it comes to Fox having control, I don't know how you feel about Fox and the control that they have.
Well, yeah, I think USA wants to present a little different product than Fox does. But you look at in what, 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, and you can see Fox's imprint all over, not just SmackDown, but Crown Jewel. Because now you've got this, they're trying to gather or try and target a new fan base. And that was one thing Al Snow and I talked about was the AEW's theory about the dormant fan base. Because Al was like, yeah, look, in the Attitude Era, we were drawing sevens and eights. And and they would kill for that stuff right now. And I know that AEW, the guys there, have talked about a dormant fan base where there were, you know, millions of people out there who weren't turning in. Now they tuned in for SmackDown, the debut on Fox, where they hit almost 4 million. And then it's gone down. It's basically cut in half. And Eric Bischoff got fired because of that. Or whatever you want to believe about that.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I mean, with Fox, what they're doing is now they're like, hey, that's great if there's a dormant fan base, but let's go after the boxing fans and let's go after the MMA fans because we're going to bring in Cain Velasquez and we're going to bring in Tyson Fury, who probably has no business in a wrestling ring. No offense to the heavyweight champion of the world. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, okay, so we're going to go after these two fan bases and hopefully we can present a product that's fun enough for them that they stick around. Now, sure, if they can translate that into one to two million additional fans, then Fox is a raging success. I don't know if it's going to work out that way, but I think you could see that they're trying to go crossover appeal, make it a little bit more mainstream, which usually doesn't work. I don't think it's going to work this time. You know, we're going to do a rematch of an MMA fight from 2010, where Kane just beat Brock's ass, and now we're worried about how are we gonna give Brock his win back in this staged environment? So, there's aspects of it. I think Fox is, I don't know if they've got too much control, but you can definitely see their influence coming into play here. I mean, they paid a lot. I hope they have some say so in what's being done.
That makes sense, especially if you're coughing up the cash. You want to be able to say a few things here and there. But we're talking to Big Dave from the host of the Attitude Aggression podcast. He's joining us tonight. He was nice enough to join and talk a little old me. We're going to take a quick break, 30 seconds, Dave, and I don't want to keep you long because I want to respect your time. But take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more about Raw, SmackDown, Bobby Lashley, Asuka, things of that nature.
Subway, home of the famous $5 footlong, like our fresh toasted black forest ham with cheese and our newest $5 footlong, the fresh delicious chicken pizziola. $5 footlongs, all day, every day.
Back. This is Russell Talking to D with Martez. I'm coming to you live from downtown Detroit, Michigan, and we're happy that Mr. Big Dave, I keep messing it up, Big Dave has decided to, no, not Big Dave, Big Dave, right?
That's it, man. You got it right.
Big Dave, you would think after doing this for 3 years, I'd get it right, but I'm not getting it right. But we're talking to Big Dave, host of the Attitude Aggression podcast. I don't take it lightly. I'm glad he came on to the show. He's blessing us with his presence And Dave, I want to finish off this second half of this interview about talking about upcoming wrestlers and wrestlers that's on your radar. You know, I think of people like Ricochet, people like Aleister Black, even Elias. I'm still a big Elias fan. People laugh at me because I'm an Elias fan. But who do you want to see receive a push in these next few months?
Wow. I would like to see – I want to see Daniel Bryan get back into, like, a title picture. For the longest time, I was adamantly convinced he was full of it and he was going to turn on Roman, and apparently that's not happening, at least not yet. So I'd like to see Daniel Bryan get back into the mix. But, like, guys you're talking about, Ricochet, absolutely. Aleister Black, definitely. I don't know about the Shorty Gable gimmick. I mean, I guess they've officially changed his name to that, which I'm just like, wow, you got to be kidding me.
right.
You know, that those kind of guys, I mean, I look at the main roster. I mean, I would love to see Cedric Alexander and Buddy Murphy get pushed even further. That'd be great because I have a lot. I mean, those two guys are tremendous. Ali's another one. I know these are a lot of the cruiserweights. I mean, you look at some of the other guys. I mean, I would go to like NXT. Damian Priest is somebody I got my eye on to see exactly what he's going to be doing. I'm really curious where they're going to go with Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic. I mean, unless these two guys are just going to kill each other before it's all done, that sort of thing. Rhea Ripley from NXT is somebody who I think she's earmarked to take the title off Shayna Baszler and get Shayna up to, you know, give Shayna a run at the main roster. Women, I want to see what they do with Liv Morgan. I know they're going to repackage her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where Ruby Riott or Sarah Logan vanished off to, that sort of thing, but they weren't obviously not drafted. Liv is somebody I got my eyes on. I can't think of any tag teams. None of the tag teams in WWE. I mean, pairing Roode and Ziggler together was a great idea. That team is a lot better than they got credit for. They were just kind of an afterthought, but they really showed me something in their brief title reign. So, yeah. I mean, I think those are kind of the guys I'm looking at the most. I'm not a Cameron Grimes fan, you know, this whole thing. And actually, but the guy who beat him, Jordan Miles, on the other hand, I think he's got some definite potential. So those are kind of the guys I'm looking at right now, but you know, there's a few of them out there.
Gotcha. Nice breakdown. Now, a lot of us as fans, we become very pissy about different things that WWE put out, like the end of.
Come on, man.
like the Bray Wyatt.
Can't get pissy. Yeah.
Exactly. Which it annoys me. I have to check myself that I don't turn into that spoiled and pissy wrestling fan. But sometimes I do. But anyway,
our God-given right, man, to be pissy wrestling fans.
Exactly. Now, speaking of Roode and Ziggler, I have issue. WWE, it seems like they give a certain team or a person a belt and then they strip it from them right away. You think a team or a faction is getting a push? Like the OC, like I feel like the OC is looking bad as of late. You know, they had a few weeks of looking strong, and now it seems like they're moving in towards a gimmick or a cheesy show. I don't know what right word to use, but I think they're doing the OC a disjustice. They're not portraying them right, if you will. Are there any storylines or any things going on in the world of WWE that you are pissy or you are frustrated or annoyed about?
Oh gosh. Well, you talked about it. This whole Bobby Lashley, Lana, Rusev love triangle is just like cringeworthy and stupid stuff. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get the details on what happened and why.
Yeah.
Wait, how did Lana end up with Bobby Lashley? Because Rusev was sending money to his poor destitute family in Bulgaria. This is really why you guys are all screwing each other now. So, I mean, I heard what you said, and I tend to agree with you. It's like, look, let's be honest. I said this on my show. If you're a new fan of pro wrestling and all that people who have been watching this for years, like you and I have been, if all they're telling you is how great the Attitude Era was,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't all great. Most of it was great, but they would do stuff like this in the Attitude Era. These stupid love triangles. You know what ruined 205 Live, man? But why 205 Live got off to a bad start and never recovered? Because you had the Cedric Alexander, Noam Dar, and Alicia Fox love triangle that nobody gave a crap about. Nobody cared. But
nobody
Vince
cared.
Thought that was a good idea. Hey, let's interject this love triangle onto this show that was based around one of the greatest wrestling tournaments of the last decade, the Cruiserweight Classic, and let's inject this Attitude Era love triangle BS. They never recovered from that. They will never. It doesn't matter that 205 Live has some of the best wrestling in anywhere in the world every single week. To me, it seems like they never got beyond that. And yeah, this whole thing is like, look, love triangles, no one cares. In 97 and 98, yeah, that was edgy stuff. That was cool. You didn't see that. Now you've got a reality show on at least 10 different networks talking about real-life love triangles. So why do I want to see this? Tell me, Vince, why do I want to watch this cringeworthy, stupid stuff? And like you're saying, yeah, I'm Rusev. I got to watch Bobby Lashley sliding his hand up my wife's thigh on a massage table. No wonder Brazzers is sending tweets to these guys. So anyway, I digress.
Is that? Hey, you preaching, man? You preaching? If I was at church, I'd say amen right now. But I don't want to come out here and say something for shock value purposes. But I see this ending badly. It can potentially end badly. This storyline. You know, you look at what happened with Edge, Lita, and Matt Hardy. How that went south.
You can work yourself into a shoot. They absolutely could do that.
And I'm more ticked off with Rusev. You know, I don't know if they offered him a lot of money or they offered him a major push, but you can call me jealous or insecure, but I can never let my wife kiss another man. I don't care if it's acting or not. I don't know what he was thinking about when he said yes to that. And it wasn't a fake kiss. It was an actually kiss. And I thought that was messed up, man.
Yeah, it was. We could go on about that. I mean, the other stuff that, if you want to talk about something that bugs me, the Fiend and Seth Rollins storyline is starting to annoy me. And it started at Hell in a Cell, and it just gets worse. It's like, wait, these guys are drafted to different brands. So Seth is going to come and find Bray in the Firefly Funhouse, burn it down, and yet they're going to meet in a False Count Anywhere match in Saudi Arabia. Why? What the hell? What is going on with this? Who's booking this stuff? No wonder Bischoff got fired. He was the one doing it. But, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, I'm not a fan of that stuff. I don't have too many complaints about, you know, the women. They seem to be being booked pretty well. And tag teams are just like, I hope the Viking Raiders just become, I mean, I would love to see these guys flip heel. You know, everybody's cheering them right now. Be a dominant badass. Be the War Raiders. Be War Machine and kind of just be nasty. And that would be fun to watch instead of just kind of like, you know, I love the fact that they came out and say, hey, we are the first team to ever win the IWGP, Ring of Honor, NXT, and Raw Tag Team Championships. I'm like, hey, they're dropping some pretty big names. So I would really like to see that because AEW's tag team division is red hot. And, you know, I look at teams like the Street Profits who have a ton of charisma and a lot of talent. And I'm really a big Street Profits. To me, like Street Profits and Private Party, very similar teams.
Absolutely.
They have the same similar approach, the same sort of style. I think Private Party's probably got more natural talent right now than Street Profits. But I would say Street Profits has more charisma than Private Party. But, you know, I that kind of stuff I really like. I can't complain about anything in NXT. I mean, just about everything they do is pretty good in some respect. I can't complain about any of that stuff. So those are the ones that kind of stand out. I mean, the Rusev, Bobby Lashley, Lana thing. I guess maybe, this Braun Strowman, Tyson Fury thing is dumb because I was at Raw in Bakersfield last week during the pull-apart brawl where the two guys – clearly, you could tell they didn't know how physical they could get with each other. They're like, hey, man, can I hit you this hard? Can I throw you this hard? Are you okay? Yeah. Was that, you know, it was like Stallone at the beginning of Rocky III with Thunder Lips where he's just kind of tapping. Does that hurt or anything? Is that okay? And, And it's just like, what kind of match? I mean, Velasquez versus Lesnar, that's different. You know, Kane's got some, he's been in AAA doing Lucha Libre stuff, but Tyson Fury's never been in a wrestling ring. How are we supposed to pull this off? That was kind of dumb, too.
We'll see what happens because I feel
my last complaint, and here's the last. Okay, I gotta say this though, and then I'll shut up.
Okay.
Kofi Kingston gets dismantled by Brock Lesnar in less than 10. A great WWE Championship reign, one of the top 10 greatest moments in WrestleMania history. Grown men of all colors, shapes, and sizes openly crying when Kofi wins the title. His reign ends in like 8 seconds. And then what do? No rematch. He's right back with the New Day. And he still looks good. He looked good last week. But wait, it's like, wait. We're just going to forget all about that and just make him a member of the New Day now and not even do anything with this. That bothers me. I have a big problem with what was done to Kofi because I think that was just a dirty way to end his reign. At least let him be competitive. I mean, if he was like Daniel Bryan at Survivor Series and took Brock to the limit and then lost, no one would have complained. You would have expected it.
Yep.
But just beaten in 5 seconds is just awful.
That right there does not add up for me. He never should have lost like that, especially when his title reign was him defeating the likes of Samoa Joe, Ziggler, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, and for him to lose in 8 seconds to Brock Lesnar on the premiere of Fox. The premiere of Fox. Come on now. I think that was a shady business, and I agree with you. But
we were down in L.A., we were just like, what? Wait, what the hell just happened? I looked at my son next week. He's like, I can't believe that, you know.
because we knew Kofi was going to lose. We knew that, but the fact that he didn't even put up a fight.
I thought when Mysterio and his son got attacked on Monday, I thought that's how Kofi was going to retain. I thought Ray's going to come down in the middle of this match with Kofi, and he's going to get Kofi qualified, and Kofi would retain the title, and then it would move on to Ray and Brock. And that's not what we got.
Yeah.
I don't know why they could have done the whole Kane Velasquez thing anyway, and still had Kofi retain the championship. But you talk about Fox's influence and Fox wanting to control things. There's a perfect example. Fox wanting Brock to look as dominant as possible and put the belt on him, which, hey, how can we do it? Let him smash Kofi quicker than he did 4 years ago in Beast in the East. Okay, yeah, that works. So, yeah, it's just dumb.
Exactly. I mean, well, I guess we got Brock as our champion, and we got to deal with it. We talked to Big Dave from host of the Attitude Aggression podcast. A few more things, and I'll let you go because I know the hour is getting late. Just want to throw out a few names. Just let me know how you feel about them. Ronda Rousey and her possible return. How do you feel about that?
Ecstatic. Please get her back. Get Ronda Rousey back. I think she would get a massive reaction. I mean, even bigger than before because, I think people want to see her back. You don't know what you got till it's gone. And people crapped all over Ronda because she was so dominant. Like Becky said, she burned through the Raw Women's Division. But if you do it right, tell me what's a bigger match right now for WrestleMania than Becky versus Ronda one-on-one. There's your main event for Tampa. I don't see anything that they've got going right now. Any match you could do on the roster right now that would be more main event worthy than Ronda versus Becky one-on-one, which is what a lot of us wanted at WrestleMania 35. We got robbed of that at Survivor Series because Becky got her face mauled. And it's great because Charlotte beating up on Ronda was fun, and it screwed Ronda all up, but that's beside the point. But, yeah, give me Ronda back. Sooner rather than later, I'd love to see her like at number 30 in the Royal Rumble. People would lose their damn mind.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
You need to be in creative, man. I like how you're talking.
Hey,
for real.
If all they got to do is pay me, man. I'll write all of Vince's stuff for him. I'll even kiss his ass a little bit, but
gotta
pay me enough.
I hear you. Now, with that scenario, I can see Becky Lynch turning heel pretty soon. I see that. I see the writing on the wall with that Becky Lynch turning heel, and Ronda Rousey as a face for that WrestleMania matchup. I think that'd be a dynamite. No point intended, but I think that'll work out well if they turn Becky heel and make Ronda a face again. So that's just my 2 cents on that. But I would like to see Ronda versus Asuka as well. And I think Asuka, she deserves a real singles push, like she did when she first came to the main roster. But I would like to see that happen as well. Yeah.
I would too. She needs to probably be built up a little bit more as a credible singles. I mean, the Green Mist is a good touch. But I always want to see Asuka and Ronda do it. That'd be, sign me. Take my money, Vince. You already are.
Right. I want to shift right now and just put the spotlight back on your podcast and things that may be coming up. Is there anything you want to say regarding your podcast? Anything new coming up in the next few weeks or months? What's next for you?
I mean, I guess the biggest thing coming up will probably be the Swaggy Awards. This is the end of the year awards show that we've been doing every year that the podcast has been on. It's just kind of, three or four of us get together and we discuss, we each have our own opinions as to what was the best. And like, I think last year we got up to 20 categories. We dumped some of the less serious categories, but there's usually like four people who come on and we each have our own thing and we try and see if anybody's got a unanimous decision. So, it's good categories like high spot of the year, match of the year, female wrestler, overall wrestler, and it's standard stuff you think about. But that's probably the big event coming up in, it's only a couple months away. Other than that, you never know with the show. I never know from 1 week to the next who I'm going to get as a guest. You send the invites out there, like we talked about at the beginning. If people respond, then you make it work. And if not, then you just kind of keep trudging along. I'm excited to see where the Wednesday Night Wars kind of progress from here. Right now, Dynamite's beating up on NXT, but that could change at any time. It is a great time to be a fan. It has not been like this for 20 years, and that sort of thing. So I think the Swaggy Awards are the big thing coming up. Beyond that, not a whole lot. There's no events planned. No pay per views. They're here in California, and who knows if the law changes like they're saying it might. Who knows how that's going to impact things out here.
I guess we'll stay tuned to that. Hey, I want to seriously, all joking aside, I want to say thank you for joining the show. Thank you for being it's our second time talking, but I feel like you're a brother in this wrestling community, this wrestling revolution, whatever you want to call it. So I thank you for being a part of Wrestle Talking to D today. Hopefully next time I invite you back on, you say yes. So I just want to say thank you, David. Big day, all right?
Yeah, anytime, man. I'm always happy to come on your show. Love the show. It's good time. All I got to say before cut out is go Nationals, win the World Series, and there you go.
Oh, I'm a Yankee fan, man, but we finally disagree, man.
Well, you guys got your hands full right now, so.
Yeah, we do. But we'll stay tuned with that. Again, thank you for joining the show, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, buddy. Take care. Good luck.
All right. Bless you. All right. That was David Ungar who joined us tonight on Wrestle Talking and D. What more can I say about that interview? What more can I say about him? He's elite. He's elite in the highest form. You should definitely go take a look and take a listen to this gentleman's show, which is the Attitude Aggression Podcast. That's the Attitude Aggression Podcast. Please direct your ears to that show. It's a great listen. Always enjoy having great conversations with people that know what they're talking about when it comes to wrestling. I feel blessed that God gives me a chance to do this. All jokes aside, for real, I feel blessed. I could be doing anything else. But he has me doing this. And this is, I almost look at Wrestle Talking to D as a ministry. Make no mistake about it. Yes, we're talking about wrestling, but the ultimate goal is to put the spotlight on God. And I thank God for this show and the ability to talk wrestling. There's a lot of different things I want to talk about in the next few weeks coming up on Wrestle Talking to D. And of course, we will have Dominic Portman, who is a co-host, a contributor to this show. He's been on a few different other shows on these airwaves. He'll be back with us in a few weeks. So I'll be happy to have him back because it's always hard, folks, to talk wrestling or talk about anything by yourself. It helps when you have someone to talk alongside with you and talk with you, to agree with you, disagree with you. So that's cool. Before we go, I want to just put the spotlight on a few other people. Jed Williamson, John Bauer, Shinola Mitchell, Josh Chivas, Kyle Carpenter, Al Miller, Terrence Chambers, those that have been a part of Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. I disappeared for for a few months after WrestleMania. I stopped recording shows. I stopped broadcasting shows, and I didn't let anybody know what I was doing. I just disappeared, and a lot of things went on in my life, tragic wise, and a lot of hiccups came about for me, so I had to go away for a bit. But I want to apologize to them guys publicly for not informing them. So I always want to be a man of my word. I said I was going to do this. I was going to apologize to them publicly, but everything's all good. I just feel like I had to do that. But I feel like this was a good show. All I'm going to say is this. Tune in to Friday Night SmackDown, which is tomorrow. You got the big dog Roman Reigns taking on Shinsuke Nakamura for the Intercontinental Championship. I'm 100% hoping that Roman Reigns picks up that victory. Roman Reigns is one of those wrestlers. He just looks better with a belt, okay? There's some people that looks better with a belt, and Roman Reigns should always have a belt on his arm or his waist at all times. Say what you want about Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns is the elitist of the elitist, and I hope he picks up that victory against Nakamura. And after Nakamura loses this match tomorrow, I don't know what they're going to do with him. Maybe they'll have him feud with Sami Zayn, which makes sense. I can see Sami Zayn costing him the matchup, which will either turn Sami face or turn him heel or keep him heel, excuse me. But I look forward to that as well. Bayley, what more can I say about Bayley? Bayley, she blew the house. She blew the roof off the house last week when she made her second heel turn, which was better heel turn than the first heel turn, which wasn't that bad. I don't know what you call these things, but her putting tearing up the Bayley buddies, basically, I guess you can call them balloons, but putting a hole in the in the buddies, the balloons. I don't know what to say right now. I don't know what to call them, but that was a great way to let the world know that I'm a heel. I'm a bad guy now. What you gonna do? And the fact that she recaptured that title from Charlotte was also another good move. So I'm interested to see how she continues to portray this bad guy, bad girl image on this week's Friday Night SmackDown. And hopefully her girl, Sasha Banks, who I deem the best wrestler, best female wrestler on the planet, I deem her the best. I hope she can return soon because it's not the same without the boss. John Moxley has been sensational over there in New Japan and AEW and other indie circuits. I think he's been phenomenal. I think he's proving and showing that he is a top-notch performer. He is a must-see performer. He has definitely impressed me. I didn't know he was going to be this big time, although he was big time in WWE, but he's took it to another level. And this is showing many people that maybe WWE tried to hold him back. And I think he's doing an exceptional job with being out there on his own. I respect the fact that he turned down the money for happiness. And a lot of times in life, we don't want to turn down the money for happiness and peace. We'd rather have the money but still be miserable and still be frustrated and still be annoyed. I think that's important. You know, money isn't everything, folks. So I respect John Moxley, and I like the fact that John Moxley is killing it, if you will. Kofi Kingston losing in 8 seconds was a travesty. It was disrespectful. Like me and David talked about earlier, like I think that was bold, you know. It was flagrant, and I think WWE could have did him better than that. 8 seconds, for real, 8 seconds. nah, that wasn't cool. That's a slap in the face. And if he's not pissed off, I'll be pissed off for him. Or ticked off for him. Excuse my language. I usually don't talk like that verbally wise. But this is Russell talking to D. We had a great show today. It's going to be many, many different things that we're going to get into on this show in the coming weeks. We're going to add a few different layers to the show. It's our third year doing this show. And I always want to reinvent it, if you know what I mean. I always want to do things a bit differently than what I did in the past. The phone number, for those of you that want to call eventually down the road, the phone number is 646-668-8672. I'm just a fan. I'm not your normal host. I'm not your normal analyst. I don't pretend like I know everything. I don't fake the funk. I try to be as authentic and real as possible. I like to share with you the things that I care about and things that I have issues with. And I thank God for this platform and this avenue. But ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to go to sleep. Maybe it's time for you to go to sleep. Maybe it's time for you to eat. I don't know. It's time for us to do something. But God bless everybody. This has been another edition of Wrestle Talking to D with Martez. We're going to leave and we're going to close out with a little bit of Kofi Kingston, the original Kofi Kingston song from back in the day. Russell Talking to D, see you next week or in 2 weeks. You never know. Stay tuned.